we know this giant like crystal is sucking all the life energy out of the planet and you really need to get to it, but also our ship needs wood. Can you go get some for us?
Welcome to another episode of Dynamic Resolution of Video Game Show. That's right, we're back, end of the year, recording on December 31st. This is the year in review episode, or it's probably just going to be a normal episode, or it could be as normal as it can be. We can
it's going to be an episode.
Hey guys, check it out. This is going to be an episode. We got Logan and Josh. Derek is sick. So that's us. There we are. Welcome, everyone. How are we doing, Josh and Logan?
Hello.
Good, good.
All right. Yeah. last episode, we graced your ears with the audio from our cookie capers, Christmas cookie capers, which is of legend on the during the Geekscape holiday live stream.
It makes me so happy that so many people reacted to that the cookies and water thing has been a thing I've fixated on for, like, I was thinking about it the other day, like 6 or 7 years now. And, like, thinking about it like that is like, Jesus Christ, this has been a journey. So it feels good to see it, like, really hit new heights, you know,
or and new right. lows.
Yes, and new lows, peaks and valleys.
Yeah. So, we wanted to kind of just discuss what we've done. God, my audio looks fucking weird. What we've discussed in the last year, this was a good year for us. Did we launch the show this year, right? Or relaunch the show?
Yeah.
That was this year, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, 21 episodes, plus a bunch of bonus episodes. I'm happy. It was a good year. I like it. There were some actually no real big pitfalls this year, so what are some of your fond memories from this year, squad, show related?
Man, show related, I don't know. I have the memory of a goldfish.
That's true.
We did have cookie capers.
I was about to say I hate to retread what I just said, but I think cookie capers is the wildest thing I never anticipated.
Yeah, it was. I saw a Prime Energy drink in the store, and like my body physically recoiled. I walked by, I was like, ugh. And then I had a chicken ramen the other night, and I was like, this is maybe I should space these out a little bit. Maybe I should stick with beef for a while.
You know, I was just thinking about how I still have the leftover ginger ale in my fridge. And that got me thinking, like, yeah, I tossed that eggnog, like, immediately. And now I'm thinking, my garbage disposal has been broken for, like, almost a month. I think the eggnog might have broke my garbage disposal when I poured it down the sink. That's cool.
It's funny you mentioned that, because I still have the eggnog.
Ew. Wasn't it, like, on the verge of expiring, like, as is?
Yeah, I got it on clearance. So at this point, it's probably grown some more eggnog, so I could save that for next year.
Yeah.
It's like a
that's your next culture. Mystery liquid. Last year's eggnog.
Some of my favorite things from that that recording are just Josh's facial expressions at times. When you accidentally poured the Sprite into the eggnog, and you like, what the fuck? Why is it all separated? And then, like, you drink it, you're like, Oh, I know. Like, just you go through all these different emotions while it takes you to decipher that. What is going
on? That sprite shouldn't take like that.
Taste
like that.
Why is my audio so fucking weird? I'm sorry. Why is it going on? They were doing this live. No reason to stop.
Yeah, Derek's not here to invoke law and order.
Yeah. What is going on? Why is it so low? Levels? Microphone? Oh. Okay. How's that? There we go. Okay. That was weird. Why did Windows take over the mic? Probably because I have a grievance. I plugged in a DualSense 5 into my computer last night to
DualSense 5, fucking
whatever. Shut the fuck up. a DualShock 5 and
DualShock 5.
And to test the auto aim in a game Logan and I were playing, and my computer thought, oh hey, you just plugged in a controller, but it has two audio devices. I'm going to switch to that. So I'm like, where did the sound go? What's going on? And I just hear Logan really faintly coming out of the controller speaker. So I'm betting Windows decided to do some black magic. But do we just want to like talk about like the year in review? I guess that I already said that, but I got the Steam Best of 2023 available, and I also have my Steam Wrapped. But I feel like Josh,
did we ever talk about our like wraps on show?
No, we did not.
Okay, cool.
But Josh, you probably have the most diverse gaming history for the year because of your leaving Game Pass addiction.
Yeah, and also none of it showed up on my Wrapped because most of it's been in the last 2 months and they stopped tracking by then. Oh. But yeah, as far as games that like surprised me this year, probably I would probably say like Turnip Boy if we're talking about games that were leaving Game Pass.
Really?
Because that game was just so dumb and easy to pick up, and it was just so much fun watching the story kind of unravel and become weirder and weirder as you progressed. And then they actually, it was originally supposed to come out at the end of the year, but they never had any news, but it just popped up the other day on the Game Pass coming soon section that the sequel's coming out in like a week. So that is going to be a good way to start the year.
Radish Boy?
Turnip Boy Robs a Bank. We've moved on from tax evasion.
Yeah, the logical progression. You go from tax evasion to theft.
Are we going to get a Payday 3 Turnip Boy crossover?
We should. That would be so tight, honestly.
That'd get me to play it.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to play Payday with us.
Yeah. We've gotten pretty good.
Okay, I'll jump on to drag you guys back down. But yeah,
Turnip Boy, okay. I think let me look at my Steam Wrapped. I've played 15 new games this year on Steam. I played a good chunk on Game Pass before I got banned. Yeah, Payday 3 is up there. But I think probably still my game of the year, my favorite thing that I've played this year. This has got to be like rose colored glasses, but, 6 Days in Fallujah. That game is like, they just added three new missions, like three whole new missions, and they're constantly improving it. And it's like, I'm so glad. I am so glad that the pre-release is going well, because when it's like, hey, early access, and then like I've seen the Steam numbers kind of dip, and I'm like, is this game gonna die? But no, they just keep plugging along. They got like investments and also like the pre-sales, and I cannot champion that game enough. It is very unique, very fun. So hopefully when it comes to Xbox next year, Josh, you can get it. And then Derek can get it, and then we can have a four stack, and we can experience real life Fallujah PTSD.
Hell yeah. Dude, this is cool. I redid my PlayStation wrap up, and it's updated for the stuff I've played since it initially came out. I expected the numbers would be like hard, like end at the date that like they started wrap up, but it looks like a bunch of my stuff I've played in December is now in this list.
So what garbage did you play?
Let me get back to the beginning. So it says on PlayStation, I played 38 games this year. I have played a couple like PS1 games and like PS2 games on the side. So that's not entirely accurate. I'd say like 45 total for the year is probably a good estimate. It says Call of Duty's my number one, which, I mean, that makes sense, considering it wraps Modern Warfare 2 and Modern Warfare 3 and Warzone all into one thing.
Yeah, you want to play Call of Duty 3? Launch Call of Duty, then inside of Call of Duty, launch Call of Duty 3.
That sounds like a nightmare.
But yeah, it says 47% of my time was in Call of Duty. Damn. Which, I mean, I can believe that. It's pretty much, until Payday came out, was the social game I played. You'll never guess this though. Fall Guys is number two. So yeah, my top five is Call of Duty, Fall Guys, Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, Payday 3, and Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, let me check what my Wrapped is. I know mine said that I had Overwatch as my number one, which I haven't played Overwatch since like February, so I don't know how the fuck that happened. But let me see if it updated.
Let's see. My Wrapped,
it says I played for 980 hours this year.
980 hours?
Yep.
Jesus.
Not including the probably 20 hours I've spent trying to beat Tagoro on the PS2 Yu Yu Hakusho Dark Tournament game.
How was did you finish that whole anime or live action?
Yeah, I did, yes.
And what's the review?
Did you watch it, Josh?
I didn't.
Do you plan to?
I do.
Okay. I won't.
But I mean, I know what happens, so.
Yeah.
At least anime-wise, so.
So I mean, I have like a 2,200 word review typed out so far, because I just been thinking about it so much. It's going to be like a fucking memory card newsletter thing. Parts of it are really good. Parts of it are really good, but it feels insulting to me as someone who fucking loves Yu Yu Hakusho, because it's just it like I'm pretty sure Shane I sent you this. The live action adaptation feels like someone watched Yu Yu Hakusho, which is already a pretty fast paced anime. There really isn't any filler. If there is, it's like 10 minutes here and there. But they watch the anime and they're like, I can trim the fat off this. And then I sent Shane a picture of like a chicken wing where it's like clearly like 80% of the meat's been eaten off of it. And I was like, this is the fat that they trimmed off. they trimmed off basically all of it and crammed like 30 hours of anime into about 4, and it suffers for it. A lot of it really depends on you already knowing the story of the anime.
That's not good.
Like, there's a certain character's death. If you've seen the show, you can probably read between the lines here and figure out who I'm talking about, but I won't spoil it. There's a certain character's death where like it happens. And in the anime, it's a very big deal, and it's like a very impactful moment. But in the live action, like, they're just dead, and it's like, okay, well, the things leading up to this, we don't see in this show. So we've seen this character for like 10 minutes, and we're supposed to give a shit that they're dead. other characters are supposed to give a shit that they're dead, I guess, even though there's been so little time shown between those characters. We can't infer that there's any sort of relationship there. It's like they just met them and hung out for a couple days. And it's supposed to be a big emotional moment, but it's like, it's only emotional if you've seen the anime and you get that it's supposed to be emotional. It's really annoying. Clearly a budget was put into this and like clearly care was put into this. And it's just disappointing that like it had as much potential as it did and still was treated like this.
Well,
it's coming off of the One Piece live action too. That's kind of lame.
That's why, like, when they first revealed characters, I half the characters look great. Yusuke in live action looks great. Kuwabara looks great because those are just people. They're just normal people. Hiei, you cannot make Hiei's hair in real life. So like, no matter what, Hiei looks stupid. Kurama, he looks like a live action version of Kurama, but like he doesn't look right because Hiei and Kurama in the anime are very anime characters. So it's like they don't look right. So I critiqued the hell out of it when they first revealed it for that. But like a lot of the effects and a lot of the CG work looks really great. And when I saw the like clips of fight scenes in the initial trailer, I was like, okay, this might be all right. People say One Piece is great. Coming off that, this might be good. But I think they fucked it up. Apparently, it's doing great. Apparently, it's gotten like great streaming numbers and shit. But I don't believe it. I don't fuck with it.
My only bit of Yu Yu Hakusho trivia is that the
show doesn't have Smile Bomb for the intro. That is a fucking crime.
The English one?
Yeah.
The only bit of trivia I have is for the English version, the voice actor for Hiei was like a high school principal, and that was like his big break. Like he had done some like other other things, but Yu Yu Hakusho was the one where he was his students were like, "Yo, you're the guy."
You voiced the coolest character fucking ever. But yeah, back to games.
I don't want to be a broken record, but the people at Netflix need to be lobotomized. And
they need to be flogged in the streets. They need to be tar and feathered.
Especially for abandoning my Cowboy Bebop like they did.
I haven't watched the last episode.
The last episode's fucking fire. The whole thing is good. The whole thing is good. I'm off the soapbox.
I can't wait for Yu Yu Hakusho to get a season two where they cram the remaining like 70 episodes into probably like 4 hours.
I hope it gets canceled.
I hope it does too. I genuinely do. So much the way that they pace this show. They're going to cut out all of season three, like anime season three. The animes are fucking, or the like seasons are fucking weird in the anime. But like the entire like third section of the show, they're just going to cut that out. I know they are because it's just the way they're pacing it. Like that, they're just going to cut out that much, and that's insane to me.
The Steam bestsellers. Best of 2023 list is out. What do you guys think is the top game measured by gross revenue on Steam?
Baldur's Gate 3.
All right, we got Baldur's Gate 3 for Logan. Josh, you want to lock in?
That's a good question. I don't really follow Steam. What's another? I'd say Hogwarts.
Okay, so there's 12 games, and I'll start from the bottom. number 12, Lost Ark. Don't know what that is. So
cool,
good job. PUBG. Then we got Sons of the Forest. Then we have Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 3, Warzone, Modern Warfare 2. So that's...
that's stupid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then we have Hogwarts Legacy. Okay.
And what number is that?
Number 6, 7, 8. Hogwarts Legacy is 8. Then we have Destiny 2. Okay. And then in number 6, Baldur's Gate.
Damn.
Baldur's Gate, number 6. Number 5 is Counter-Strike 2. Then we have Cyberpunk, which is on sale. And then the top 3. Number 3. Do you have any guesses what number 3 is? Anything that's been omitted so far?
No.
Starfield. Surprisingly. Number 2 is Dota 2. Which is like the League of Legends competitor. And then number 1, most gross revenue game on Steam for 2023 in the platinum category. Number 1 is Apex Legends. Mm-hmm. Which very interesting. Very interesting. So
I was hoping number 1 would be some wild card, like one of those fucking hentai games.
Yeah.
And in number 1, Meat and Fuck Kingdom.
Payday 3 got number 2 in the bronze category. Which is interesting.
What are the categories mean?
Just various types of metal. Platinum, gold, silver, bronze.
So is it all basically one list just broken into like
multiple
lists?
Here's a very interesting one in the bronze category, Call of Duty Black Ops 3.
Huh.
Is that a like a specifically renowned game?
People that
probably
I know of
played the new zombies and they're like, man, fuck this shit.
Probably yes. Steam Deck. Number one selling game on Steam Deck is Starfield. It's interesting.
Anyway. It is interesting.
So, this year,
Starfield.
The year of Starfield. Got to play Armored Core 6. That's Josh, did you play that at all? Any of you guys play that yet?
I didn't.
I did not.
Yeah. All right. Well. Play it. It's fun.
Yeah,
it's fun. So yeah, what else do we want to talk about? Talk about like the last couple of weeks, Josh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know you were asking me about it a couple shows ago, but I finally played through Final Fantasy 16 while I was sick all week, and mixed feelings. I feel like I'm still processing some of it, but the big mistake that I made was that I played Hi-Fi Rush right before it, and this game was like Hi-Fi Rush if it had one combo and went on for 40 hours.
Oh, no.
I literally went from one of the best like action games that I've played in like years and years, and I was kind of disappointed in myself by the time I finished Hi-Fi Rush, because like I mentioned on previous shows, I would put it down for months at a time, and then there's so many systems and like abilities that it's kind of hard to get back into if you've put it down for a while. Mm-hmm. But once I finally just sat down and stuck with it for the rest of it, it was probably one of the best action games I've played in a really long time, and definitely my top 3 best of the year at this point. So I'm from that to Final Fantasy. And in the beginning, like I'm having a lot of fun with it. I'm like, all right, cool. Like the gameplay's really solid. The graphics are great. Story is pretty interesting. And then just the gameplay never really evolves or changes much. And the enemies are all damage sponges that like take forever to kill. There's a bunch of like pointless missions that are essentially side quests in practice, but they're main quest missions in the progression, so that you're forced to like do like stupid shit, like fix every small problem your village has before you could move on through the main story. And It's
who wrote this? Jordan Peterson?
No. Actually, oh wait.
Was it Final Fantasy? But
there was something where like the guy, where the character was like laying in someone's lap and they talked about hair brushing against him, and I pointed at the screen. I was like, it's the Jordan Peterson brush with my grandma's pubes thing.
Wait, what? What?
In one of his books, he said he had a dream where he was laying on the beach with his grandmother naked while she was brushing his face with like a brush made of her pubic hair or some shit. And there's like an audiobook where that he narrates that people circulate, so it's his voice saying it.
No way.
I'll find the actual quote.
That's
oh, so he actually is like Delulu.
Delulu?
Delusional.
Oh. Yeah, I read like the first two chapters of his first book. And didn't even crack open the second one.
Okay,
okay, I love quote. POV, your Jordan Peterson quote.
Like, it says she was stroking herself absentmindedly. She walked over to me with a handful of pubic hair compacted into something resembling a large artist's paintbrush. She brushed this on my face and over my arm several times to deflect her hand. I tried several times to deflect her hand, unwilling to hurt her, interfere with her any further. I let her have her way. She stroked my face with the brush gently and said like a child, "Isn't it soft?" And this picture of the book, like the words are folded over the center, so it's hard to see, but it says, "Isn't it soft? I something her ruined face and said, yes, grandma, it's soft."
Do you have a page? I have his two books. Do you have a page number?
It was page 164. I don't know which one though. But yeah. So that reminded me of Final Fantasy 16, clearly.
The resolution sure is dynamic this episode.
You said it was 164?
Yes, on the picture I'm looking at.
164. No, this is a page about being on time to appointments. Let me go to the other one.
No, yeah, that's it.
All right, here we go. 164. Oh no, I see the word Freud on this page. Okay.
that's gotta be it.
What the fuck? We're sufficiently in possession of ourselves to create values by conscious choice. He's talking about the death of God. Okay.
same dream. Same
also,
dream.
Also, also a common theme in Final Fantasy.
I don't think I have that book.
It's damn. On. I found it on Goodreads, actually.
Huh. Well, there you go.
But yeah, so that was the
dynamic
gist of
resolution.
It. But yeah, so I finally finished it. The ending was very unsatisfying, to say the least, without spoiling it.
Isn't it like a remake of one, like Final Fantasy One?
No. That's Stranger of Paradise, which is that one where the dialogue was so try-hard edgelord that everyone was making fun of it, and the creators put out a statement basically saying that they were disappointed in the reaction because they thought it was really cool.
Isn't that the one where, like, in the demo or something, like, one of the characters, like, is just being edgy and then he throws on, like, nu metal on his phone or something?
Yeah, no, it's even funnier than that because it's not in the demo, it's in the main game, but
the real game.
So there's like a scene where, okay, so does anyone give a fuck about spoiling this game? I mean, you already said it's a prequel to Final Fantasy One, but like the plot of the game is they're trying to find Chaos, who is like the main villain of Final Fantasy One. And but instead of you playing as like, you know, medieval knights that fit the theme of Final Fantasy One, you're just walking around with a bunch of people in like tight Under Armour shirts and like cargo pants. They look like about to go on a like fucking tiki torch protest. So like
they got graphic tees to say like Bullet Club or something really brawlic like that.
Bullet Club Gold, actually.
Oh, but, gold.
Guns up. But anyway, but yeah. But yeah, so so the main character, for I don't even think it's ever explained, but he's really, really obsessed with finding chaos. And so they get to a point in the game where someone's like, chaos is a myth, they're not real, it's something that they tell people, like, you know, so that people will have something to fixate on. And then she goes in this long speech about how he's not real, and then he just goes, there's like a moment of silence, he just goes, bullshit. And then he turns around and walks away in slow motion, and then that's when the new, that's when the new metal kicks in. It just sounds like some bootleg Linkin Park song.
Bullshit. Dude. Oh man, I'm glad I don't play play my PlayStation.
And can I spoil the game, because it makes the whole thing even funnier?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So it turns out he is chaos. He's the main villain of Final Fantasy One that you kill in the original game.
That is pants on head stupid. Jeez. Like, how many people do they have on the Final Fantasy team where they can just like spit out masterpieces, and then all of a sudden it's like, I have a really good idea.
Well, don't like multiple teams do Final Fantasy games? Because wasn't 16 like Creative Business Unit 3?
It was, yeah. Part of the reason I think why the game has the problems it does, because they're pretty much coming straight off of Final Fantasy 14, and a lot of the mission progression is just MMO shit. Like, all right, well, we know this giant like crystal is sucking all the life energy out of the planet, and you really need to get to it, but also our ship needs wood, can you go get some for us? We need 30 planks.
No, it's that bad. Damn.
And that's actual like story missions too. It's like you can't advance the story unless you do missions like that, and that's aside from the side missions that are also just, can you get us 50 more planks of wood? So it's like the progression's just really slow. The gameplay is fun for what it is.
I'm glad they're putting that retrograde money to good use.
They're still banking on their NFTs too. They're still working on that NFT game.
Damn.
But yeah, it's like there's aspects of it that are really, really good. It's just the gameplay's kind of shallow, and it's not sustainable for a 40-hour game. Like, you can't do that for 40 hours and still be enthusiastic about it, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it's do unlock new abilities and stuff, but they all kind of do the same amount of damage and the same amount of effect to the enemy. And I realized that the game wasn't going to be what I thought it was when I encountered my first fire enemy, and I used fire magic against it, and it did the exact same amount of damage as any other element. So it's like the elements are really just changing the color of his attacks, but didn't really do much aside from giving you a few new special moves.
On the topic of element attacks, so I've been playing a lot of Monster Hunter Now this year. Mm-hmm. And on one of my work trips, I wanted to play Monster Hunter World on the Steam Deck. And I would always just play Monster Hunter, like brute force it, like, oh, this weapon looks cool, this armor looks cool. But Monster Hunter Now really spoon feeds you like how element attacks work and weaknesses and all, you know, all armor abilities. And I was like, I wonder if that's in Monster Hunter World. And there's a whole like encyclopedia of like, hey, this weapon does really good on this monster, he's weak to this, use this, do that. And then there was a whole like grappling hook thing.
You didn't know there was a grappling hook? That was like the main mechanic of the game.
Dude, you can jump on them and like stab them in the eye. And I was like, dude, I have so many hours of that game on PS4 and then so many hours of that game on Steam. And I had no idea. Like, I went to go practice like the dual blades or something in the training room. And then it's like, hey, do you want to do the grappling hook, the claw shot training? I'm like, what the fuck's the claw shot? And I was like, dude, this changes everything. Because I thought the only way you could jump on the back of a monster was like hit it from mid, from above. I was sorely disappointed with myself. Like, yeah, that's on par with my like Diablo 2 fuck up where I played my friends and I, and I've definitely have shared this on the show, but my friends and I got the Diablo 2 battle chest on PC, and we played from the beginning of Diablo 2 all the way to the end of the expansion. And I was playing the assassin, and I was like, man, the assassin only has like 3 skills. This is the only one that I like. So I just leveled up 1 skill the whole time. And then we're in the lobby of the final boss of the expansion pack. And I'm like, wait, what's this button? And I'm like, oh, there's 2 other skill trees. Oh, cool. I've played the entire game using fire traps.
Yeah.
It's, bumbled it.
I mean, it's really easy to, like, Monster Hunter doesn't really like make it super clear all the things you can do in it. So no. I think I know about all that stuff, and I do use the grappling hook, but otherwise I usually also brute force it and never use the elemental weaknesses. So,
but it was,
you're not the only one.
It was great. I was like, I'll forge a weapon with this. Like, who would have thought the mobile game, the Pokemon Go version of Monster Hunter? What are you doing, buddy? The mobile version taught me more than the AAA. What are you doing? Sorry. My cat's like trying to like get into my computer case. What are you doing? He's eating my peanut butter. Lately, actually, here's a grievance. I have a Logan grievance.
Yeah.
Josh, you've heard the phrase like never meet your heroes, right?
Right.
And like, cause they'll probably disappoint you. I'll never forget I was like 16 maybe. And I was at my first or second San Diego Comic-Con, and it's like, we're walking around, my dad and I are walking around, and I see John DeLancey signing like Star Trek pictures. And I'm like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. That's cute. Oh yeah. And I know. And he was selling autographs for $20. And I'm like, oh, can I, you know, and I was right. Adolescent, and I'm like, oh my God, it's amazing here. And I go like, oh, I'm a huge fan. Can I get an autograph? And I hand him a 50, and he goes, oh, you don't have anything smaller. And I'm like, and my dad's like, here's a 20. And I'm like, thanks. And like every time I see that autograph photo, I'm just like, man, dude, you're sitting in a plate of peanut butter.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Sorry. I had this really idolized idea of Logan as a gamer. And it explicitly ties back to a couple of years ago. I think it was during the pandemic. The first time I ever played Call of Duty with him, Warzone, I was playing with, friend of the show, Tuvin, and then my buddy, Tony. And we were fucking like scrubs. We had the default player skins, you know, all this stuff. And then Logan's like, hey, I'll do a four stack with you. And he's got paid skins. He's got his character is all fucking kitted out. He's slide canceling. He's fucking wall riding. You know, he's doing frame skips and, you know, all this like shit. And he's zipping around and we're all like, whoa, Logan's a Chad. Like, we can't keep up with him. He's like, I'm going over here. Well, jumping up and down. And so I had this idolized, like, yo, Logan's a fucking elite pro hacker gamer. And then we decided to pick up The Finals. Have you heard of this game, Josh?
Yeah. That was what they announced it at the Game Awards, right?
Yeah, it was like free now.
But before we go any further, Josh, do you have the slightest idea what kind of game The Finals is?
I felt like I did when I watched the trailer. I don't know if I remember.
Because when Shane asked if I wanted to play The Finals, I was like, oh yeah, I remember hearing of that. And I go to look at the PlayStation page for it. And I'm looking at the screenshots. I'm like, I can't tell what the fuck this game is.
I just remember a lot of red.
Yeah, basically. They do an impeccable job of going out of their way to market it as convolutedly as possible. Where it's like, it's almost like they're embarrassed of the game. And they want you to be intrigued because of the mystery. That's the vibe I get. But go on, Shane.
I had added that game to my wish list when the announcement came on, and then forgot about it. And then IGN, they have a series, the only video worth watching on IGN is their Weapons Experts React series, where they get the curator of the Royal Armouries Museum in the UK to like watch game footage and say like, oh, that gun is this gun and here's some fun history and oh, they got this wrong. And it's as a somebody who likes historical firearms, I think it's pretty cool. So they did the Finals. And so The Finals is a 3v3v3v3 first person shooter. And the gimmick is you have to collect money from killing people or doing objectives and then cash it out at vaults.
Mm-hmm.
And the there's three different classes, which are like different builds. So like light, medium, and heavy. And then they have unique weapons and gadgets for each of the classes. The light class has a grappling hook and their movement ability feels very Titanfall 2. So like it's great. Like I'm fucking running around, I'm doing fucking flick shots, like, you know, 360 no scopes. Like it's, you know, it's really fast movement. The gameplay, like the time to kill is really fast. There's like a cool revive mechanic where when you the whole game takes place in like this VR battle royale Hunger Games kind of thing. So it's a game within a game. And if you die, you turn into like a little trophy. And so someone could pick your trophy up and like run around to safety and then revive you around the corner. I really like the game. I think it's really cool. The whole time we were playing it, this motherfucker wouldn't shut the fuck up. It's like, this game sucks. God, I really wish, like, how do people kill me? Blah, blah, blah. And we played for hours. And at the end of it, I was like, okay, maybe it's explain the control scheme and explain. This is where the point of contention came up.
So I have my little list here of my fucking grievances? My grievances, yes. First of all, yes, I'll go over control scheme. So, this game is a first-person shooter in a modern landscape where it's competing against Call of Duty, which is the biggest first-person shooter on Earth and has been for a long time. So this game, you have grenades.
You know how grenades work, right, Josh?
I've heard of them.
How in a normal first-person shooter, if you're playing control, like if you're playing if you're playing controller, usually, like left trigger is to aim down sight, right trigger is to shoot, right bumper is to throw a lethal, left bumper is a tactical, and that's pretty universal across all games. Even stuff like Payday has a basically the same system, even though Payday is a drastically different type of game. In the finals, grenades are an item that you have to use, and you have to cycle through them. So
they're called a gadget, and you have three gadgets in your loadout.
Yeah,
you have to.
I'm going to refer to them as grenades because I can't be fucked to even consider using any of these other gadgets. It's like I cannot envision a situation where I'm going to want to cycle through my gadgets to drop a jump pad when this is a first-person shooter and I probably just want combat-oriented things. So,
we keep losing.
Oh, yeah, because I don't have the jump pad. Yes. Yeah. The control scheme, there's multiple controller layouts for this game, all centered around this gadget mechanic. One of them is to use grenades, you have to hold left bumper, then hit one of the face buttons to switch to an item, then right trigger to use the item. One of them is cycling with the D-pad, so going left or right on the D-pad to cycle through them, then using right trigger to throw the item. Or each gadget is mapped to a D-pad button to switch to that gadget, then right trigger to use the item.
How does all that make you feel, Josh?
That's too many buttons.
Yes, too many buttons, exactly. To throw a grenade. Too many fucking button presses for this. So couple that with the fact that this game only has primary weapons, and that's it. There's no secondary weapon. So the ingrained controls in me, where when I run out of ammo, I switch to a secondary, that gets me killed all the time. Because I'm trying to hit fucking triangle on my controller to switch to a secondary weapon, and I'm just fucking like standing there because nothing's happening. And so then it's like, okay, I'm already panicked because that's not working. So I try to fucking hit left bumper to throw a tactical or something, and that doesn't fucking do anything either. So I finally have a mapping on my controller that makes a semblance of sense.
Where you have to go into the PlayStation like Pro DualSense.
Yes, I'm using my
custom
my
editor.
Yeah, I'm using my $200 DualSense Edge controller for this because it's the only way to make this even slightly work. I have left and right bumper remapped to the D-pad so I can cycle through grenades with the bumpers, which feels almost right, but still not right. And then you have like a special ability. That's like the grappling hook or like it's going like a cloaked mode or something or like a quick dash. I have to map that to a back button because I mapped that to like right on the D-pad or something to get that button out of the way. So I cannot play this on a normal controller. It's not happening. That's the bulk of my grievance is that this game goes against traditional first-person shooter controls in such a way that I cannot get good. It requires too much thought process to do anything. But that's not all my complaints.
Wait, there's more.
There's more. This game has no mini map, and at first I didn't think that was that big of a deal. But with how often this game I respawn facing away from where I'm supposed to be going, a mini map would be really helpful. And Shane, how many times have I been like, where the fuck am I supposed to be going? Where's the thing? I can't see the thing, because the heads up display icons for like, oh, cash out point A and B are little black circles with a white letter in it that just blend in with everything. So yeah. It's like, unless someone pings it and brings color to it, I have to like stop and look around for where I'm supposed to be going. The respawn. Yeah,
that is a fair grievance where like you'll respawn and it has you looking down a hallway and you just start sprinting and then
you just assume I'm supposed to go straight.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to turn around first.
You guys see this?
I do. You're pretty cute.
Yeah.
But yeah, the respawn animation, since the whole game is this like VR like battle royale thing, when you respawn it's like a big digital, like the game's loading in and you're jumping
big,
back into the
bright
game.
White flash.
It's a big white flash every goddamn time. it looks cool the first like 15 times, but I'm tired of it. I wish I could turn it off.
And it sounds even more disorienting when you're not sure which direction you're pointing.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah,
like when you like look at my camera feed when you respawn, it's like this. It's just
yeah. And it's like, and sometimes it respawns you and there's someone already looking at you, shooting at you. So it's like, not only do your eyes, but the screen have to adjust to the different like exposure. And it's like, it's a cool idea. I hate it. In my list,
that
I have no
awful.
Second. Yeah. In my list, I have no secondary. Already talked about that. Shit controls. Talked about that. There's a weird jump input delay where there are a lot of times I'm trying to jump and it just doesn't, because like I get too close to the wall I'm trying to jump over, and it's like there's a weird sweet spot where you have to hit the jump button for this to work. Spawns you in the wrong direction. Reviving just stops sometimes.
Yeah,
and Shane even experienced this on controller. I guess it's just a controller thing where I go to revive someone and the meter like halfway fills up and then it just stops, and I have to like stop and look directly at the fucking statue thing and then restart the revive. So it's like, at this point, it's like, if I'm not dead by now, I'm gonna be before the revive ends, because this took twice as long. but no, I know I'm not alone, because I do keep seeing threads on Reddit where people are like, what's with fucking controller? Like, people talk about like the aim assist might have some weird sweet spot where it's like it's super effective in a certain range, but like people talk about it pulls you in weird directions, which that could be it. I don't know. But I don't know. I'm not the only one complaining about this game on controller. So I don't think it's just a skill issue. It's definitely a skill issue, though. I will admit that. But I defend that it's because I'm pretty all right at Call of Duty. And as a result, I'm bad at this. Shane plugged in a controller and played a few games, but even him talking about playing this game, I can tell his brain does not work the same way as mine, where he's just like, yeah, I just press the buttons and do the thing. And it's like, but you don't have to think about that.
No,
That was
the thing that I was like, oh dude, maybe Logan's bad at video games. Because I plugged in an Xbox controller and I was all right, I'm going to test this out. And I'm in a firefight and then my brain just goes, oh, you need grenades. And I do the
L1.
So
I'm going to hit left bumper triangle. It's like, sure.
And I just was like, boom, it did it, threw the grenade and then switched back to the rifle. And then I thought, well, maybe it's a PlayStation thing. So then I plugged in my DualShock 5, DualSense 3, whatever. And it worked, and I really was like that John Delancey scenario, like, oh no.
He's not good at
video games.
I defend that when I play something like Call of Duty, I'm working completely off muscle memory, and this game makes me think about what I have to do, whereas in Call of Duty it's just ingrained in me how to play the game. But with this game, I have, like, my muscle memory doesn't work. And that throws me into a subtle panic where I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And I have to think about it then. And it's like, it just doesn't work. If if there were a way to make this game control like Call of Duty, I would be better. I promise. But this game just refuses to adopt traditional controls.
And it plays great on PC. Like, it's...
Dude, all the time. Like, I'm getting killed in ways where I'm like, I can never in my life pull that off. Where someone, like, it starts to go up a zip line, and then, like, I'm jumping, and they manage to, like, shoot me out of the air. And it's like, how the fuck did you do that? Or it's like, I don't get it. I just don't get it. The game's not made for controller.
It reminds me of when the Battlefield servers were getting shut down like a month or so ago, and I tried to play a few games before it shut down, and I had no idea how to play anymore because it had been so long. But like you were saying, Logan, in that game, there was a bad habit of people like being right on top of the spawn. So sometimes I would just come back to life and then get killed before I even know that anyone was there.
Mm-hmm. But in this game, awful. That happens, but you're also flashbanged for fun.
Oh, yeah.
It has a lot of destructibility like Battlefield 3 and 4, a lot of verticality. I think it's a great game. Like, I'm like, dude, I really like this, and fuck this bullshit. And it got to a point where like I just didn't know what to say or how to respond to you, and I'm like, man, I'm putting you through it. Like, I have to say, it is a great game. I love it. It's definitely a PC game first. It's free to play.
I can tell it would be very fun if I was able to do anything right.
Yeah. But Josh, I implore you, download it and play it with us.
Let's see.
Play it with us. It's
you can't be worse than me.
I don't know about that. We'll see.
I don't know. If it was a fighting game, Josh would...
Dude, no, I'm pretty sure I said that the other night. This game, I'm bad at this game the same way I'm bad at fighting games. Because I also cannot mentally, like, internalize fighting game combos. I just can't. I have to think about it too much. And if you have to think about those combos, you're going to lose. That's just how it is. That's how this game feels. I have to internalize these weird mechanics that just do not exist in any other game.
Skill issue.
Yeah.
It's a skill issue. You guys want to talk about games coming out in 24 real quick as we wrap up 23?
All of which are coming out between January and February.
Basically.
Before we do that, do you guys have any other heaters from this past year that you played that you want to shout out?
I did remember, I was going through my list earlier and remembered that I'd also played Metal Hellsinger this year when we're talking about games that left Game Pass, which it's kind of like in the same realm of Hi-Fi Rush, but excellent game. It got added to the PlayStation library now, so I told you guys last time I got stuck on the last boss and ran out of time at Game Pass, so now I have an excuse to run through it again and try to redeem myself on PlayStation. So there's that.
I gotta see.
Oh, are you gonna say?
I don't know. I got to look up that game again. Because if I recall, there's weird EDM DLC, right?
There was some licensed DLC, and I think there was an EDM and like a mid 2000s metal pack or some shit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Trivium ad infinitum. Let's see. Oh yeah, yeah. Dabs and Bourgeois Tsunami is on here. That's what. What the fuck? Paramore, Galantis, Disturbed, Dabs, Iconopop, Depeche Mode, Muse, and Gorillaz. We're retreading this conversation from earlier this year, but damn.
But yeah, and then actually, just a week ago, or just the other day, to kind of top off the year, we were playing River City Girls 2 on stream, Megan and I, and the director of the game popped in on our stream.
Whoa,
that's tight.
And he started telling us like, oh, he started like directing us and telling us where to go to show us like these super secret Easter eggs and stuff.
Oh,
damn, that's awesome.
Yeah, so we were on I think he was on stream with us for like 45 minutes or so and was like telling us stuff about like behind the scenes stuff about the game and just that way forward in general, and then telling us giving
do you
us
have any
tips.
Connection to them? Is there any reason he'd do that, or did he just randomly pop in?
No, it was just random.
That's tight.
He was like, oh, I was just playing this game like a couple hours ago, and I was like, all right, that's cool, dude. Like hopefully the stream kind of matches up to what you'd expect from the game. And he's like, oh yeah, well I was actually the director of it. Which is funny because he friend of the show, Carlos Lopez, he actually commented on my post about it, and he named the guy, so it sounds like it's probably a thing that he does. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but Carlos was like, oh, was it like so and so? I was like, yeah, it was.
That's cool.
So that was dope. I'm actually hoping to finish that game by the end of the day today. It's super fun. And then if I were to just give like a quick top games of the year that did come out this year, I'm obviously excluding Baldur's Gate because I'm waiting on the physical copy, and I'm like 15 hours into Zelda, but I don't want to say that either because what if it falls apart in the last like 5 hours and I change my mind. But right now I would probably say Hi-Fi Rush, Mario Wonder, Hi-Fi Rush, Mario Wonder, Street Fighter 6 for me.
Street Fighter 6. They recovered bigly from 5, didn't they?
Yeah, it helped that they're kind of doing everything they can to torpedo their reputation post-launch, but at launch, they kind of corrected every mistake that they made. Because if you remember when Street Fighter 5 launched, it didn't even have a way to play against the computer unless you played the story mode, which is just 2 fights on very easy difficulty.
Per character. Yeah. It was supposed to be like an online only kind of thing.
It had online only and then a story mode, which was the only way you could fight the CPU, and then like a training mode. And that was it. Mm-hmm. Whereas this one has an arcade mode with individual endings for every character. It has a full like 15 hour story mode. It has like a pretty full roster. It has like a ton of online options and gives you a lot of different ways to play. There's like a Smash, even like a kind of a Smash Brothers inspired mode where it'll drop obstacles and hazards in the middle of the fight and that kind of thing.
Man, they really pulled it out on that one.
Yeah, they did everything they could to kind of like wash the stink off of like everything that 5 didn't do. They like did it twice as big in this one. And that's top of the game itself and the systems being really good.
They ruined all that good fortune with like the weird DLC, right?
Yeah, and the microtransactions and how, like, every collaborative set of skins they've come out with are, like, cost about twice as much as the game itself to buy. And it's all just cosmetics for your avatar, too, so far. It's, like, not even stuff you can use on the main Street Fighter characters.
Hmm.
Although they did just come out with a new wave of, like, actual costumes for the cast, and I think if you bought all of the costumes for those characters, it comes out to, like, it's like that scummy like Fortnite type of monetization. So you have to buy like $100 worth of coins to buy every character, but like the skins actually come out to like $95, but then there's not enough money packs to be able to just buy what you want. So you have to buy more than what's required to get everything. Then you have a little bit left over that you're trying to get rid of. And
that encourages you to get a little bit more to use the rest of your coins. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like shit like that. And it's made even worse. Speaking of Fortnite, it's made even worse now because Fortnite just came out with Ninja Turtle skins. And it's like all 4 turtles and April with a bunch of like, you know, like the back bling pickaxes, emotes and stuff. And I think it's like $50 cheaper than what it was on Street Fighter for like less Ninja Turtle content when they did theirs. So it's
you have zero room to talk because you did some predatory Roblox event this year.
Oh well, that's different. That was Maisie Peters.
I still don't know who that person is. Yeah, that looks like somebody that you would listen to.
It's my artist of the year. My top Spotify Wrapped artist. Her and Craig David. It actually said like I listened to music like people from York, United Kingdom. I was like, yeah, that tracks.
So I sent a link for.
Wait. I haven't gone over my games yet.
Oh.
So. The definitely my number one would probably be Cult.
SnowRunner.
Oh. SnowRunner. Yes.
Yeah.
No, I expected Spider-Man 2 to be my game of the year, and in terms of games that came out this year, that's still absolutely true. But of the things I played this year, since I finally got my copy of Cult of the Lamb. So I could finally play it fucking in eternity after release. Cult of the Lamb's fucking great, and I really love it. I have a couple trophies I need to get. The main ones I need to do are just like beating the bosses without getting hit. Just because the best way to do that apparently is a way I didn't even consider while playing the game. In the game there's a handful of different cloaks that you can unlock. By doing like just cult activity stuff, you get these pieces to unlock other stuff. But these cloaks have like different effects in game. Like one of them's like you don't have any like refillable health, but you start with like twice as much like single use health. And that's the one like I would usually use just playing through the game. But there's one of them where it's like a multiplier of your damage for every enemy you kill without getting hit. But if you get hit, it resets it back to like one times damage. Apparently the way that it's like the way a lot of people get that trophy is you just play through these dungeons leading up to the boss and without getting hit. And by the time you get to the boss, you have like an insane multiplier on your damage. So you hit them like once or twice and they're dead. So that's a way I didn't even consider playing the game. So I just have to do that. But no, Cult of the Lamb has been a really, really fun game, and I've really enjoyed it. But I got a shout out, Power Wash Simulator. This game
sucks.
Has it's been terrible. Incredible.
Did you get the Final Fantasy VII DLC on it?
Not yet. I haven't got any DLC for it yet. I'm still going through the career mode. I figured I would do.
What is the Final Fantasy DLC?
Could power wash Cloud's motorcycle?
It's gay.
Yeah,
they also had another a Tomb Raider one, also, right?
Yeah, there's a Tomb Raider one. I think you're cleaning her mansion or something like that. There's a SpongeBob DLC. There's Back to the Future DLC. You can take that power washer anywhere, you know. But no, especially the past like month, I have been extremely stressed and anxious. And man, Power Wash Simulator has been the best way of just turning off my brain.
You haven't turned it back on for the finals either.
Honestly, I will say even Power Wash Simulator has better first person shooter controls than the finals does.
when I realized you were bad at video games, like I had a like usual suspects like montage of all these like key moments in our past of like us failing at Warzone Resurgence, and I'm just like, oh, no, he's been bad the whole time. He's sucked at games the whole time.
Yep, I've been lying to you. Every time you called me a Chad, I was like, he doesn't know.
No, I don't know. Yeah.
But no, I do also want to shout out Viewfinder, though. I don't know if either of you...
Oh, that's the Polaroid game?
Yeah, it's basically Portal meets Superliminal. And the dialogue in it is cringe as hell. The game's better played with no talking. But... The story is decent.
Is the dialogue something that Derek would really like?
I don't know. It's very fucking Marvel, where it's like it's just that tone, you know.
Yeah.
But the game is good enough that we named a cat after the cat in Viewfinder. I don't know if I told this on the show or even told you guys about this, but a while back. Mindy got home from shopping and she like called across the apartment like, hey, come here. And I come and there's just a cat that just came in with her. It just followed her up two flights of stairs and just invited itself in our apartment. And it was the sweetest, nicest little cat. Like we tried so hard to find its owner, but like no one was claiming it. And it wasn't like microchipped or anything. I later learned it was probably just like a intentionally like catch, neuter, release stray program that Humane Societies do, because like her ear was like snipped. But she was so nice, I couldn't believe she was a stray. My dad ended up taking her, and she is now our garage cat at my parents' house. But we named her Kate after the viewfinder cat, who's also named Kate.
Which I thought you were making a Kate Sith reference, and I was like, oh, that's cool. And then you're like, no, the cat in the fucking Urban Forever 21 Urban Outfitters game. I'm like, oh, okay, you're dumb.
No, nah, man, justice for Kate. Justice for Kate, that's all I gotta say.
Yes.
But yeah.
2024?
Yeah, 2024.
So I sent you a list. Dude,
January and February alone are just stupid.
I don't know. I recognize Prince of Persia, another code recollection, Tekken, and then Like a Dragon.
I had to look on PlayAsia, because there's this one game I keep seeing on PlayAsia that's pre-order that I can never remember the name of. Progmata. That's the one I'm most excited for.
Progmata.
This game looks fucking awesome. It's had a couple like trailers at various things. Progmata. But I don't know shit about this game, but it looks fucking great.
Oh, this is the one where it's like where the trailer was, everyone's like, yo, is this a Kojima game? And then it's like Capcom. We're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah.
It's probably going to
I totally forgot about that.
It looks fucking awesome. And I know I'm saying that because on PlayAsia, the like cover art for it, it's just fucking tight. I don't know. I'll send a link. But like, I don't know, the use of color and like it's fucking futuristic sci-fi. I don't know, it looks fucking tight.
Yeah, January, there's nothing in January that's hitting a spicier mild. That's another thing. We came up with the best rating system of the year, spicy versus mild. That was a Josh original, Josh creation.
That wasn't this year, though, was it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was, because we started the show this year.
But didn't we do some spicy mild before we rebranded?
Mm-mm.
Oh. I don't know, I have the memory of a goldfish. I don't fucking know.
Yeah,
I don't even remember that I came up with it.
but yeah, none of these games are doing it for me.
They're claiming Skull and Bones is going to come out. What do you guys think about that?
That wasn't even on my fucking radar.
Yeah,
I'll believe. I forgot
that it was in development hell. Like, I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, cool, a new pirate game. And then apparently it's been in development for like 30 years.
Yes, it has. There's a Star Wars Dark Forces remaster out?
Apparently.
Damn.
See, I look at this list and it's like the complete opposite from what Shane was saying. Even like fucking Momodora, that was like a Game Pass game that left like a year ago. And I guess it's a sequel to it. I didn't even know that was coming out until I looked at this list, but... Yeah, to me it's kind of insane because it's like another code, that's day one. Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth, that's day one. Apollo Justice Trilogy, that's day one. Tekken 8, that's day one for me. And three of those games all come out on the same week. And then a week after that, there's in February, there's Granblue Fantasy Relink and Persona 3 Reload a day apart. And those are both day ones for me. And then Gunvolt Records Chronicles on February 15th, Mario versus Donkey Kong, and then Final Fantasy VII Rebirth on February 29th.
It's so cool that they're releasing that on February
29th. Oh, leap year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Alone in the Dark. I forgot the Alone in the Dark reboot, remake, whatever the hell is coming out. Allegedly.
Alone in the Dark. Like the piece, like the 1996 PC game.
Yeah, there's a modern one coming out.
Well, there was a modern one in 2006.
That doesn't count. That doesn't count.
Do you remember that, Josh?
Yeah, I remember that one. Oh shit! And Dragon's Dogma 2 and Princess Peach Showtime come out on the same day in March. fuck. This sucks.
Alone in the Dark. Return to Dorsetto Manor in this reimagination of Alone in the Dark, a love letter to the 90s. So it's a HD remaster remake of the first game.
I don't know what it is, but it works for me, man.
Oh, it looks dumb. Yeah. Anyway.
Boy, yeah, this list of unconfirmed games is long.
Arcade
Beyond Good and Evil 2 one day. Hey, did we ever talk about that Beyond Good and Evil HD remaster that leaked and then got released and then pulled and deleted like on all in the same day a few weeks ago?
No, what happened?
Like some screenshots leaked of a Beyond Good and Evil anniversary HD remake, and then like an hour after the screenshots leaked, the full game went up on like the Ubisoft streaming service or whatever the fuck it is. And then like another hour after that, it got pulled from everything, and they're like, "Oh, sorry guys, that was a mistake." And no one's ever said anything about it since.
Briefly available on Ubisoft Plus. Ubisoft used the opportunity to formally acknowledge the game's existence, promising official details later. The since deleted synopsis promised up to 40K60. I never played the original. Was it any good?
It's
was
great. It's a much like Ubisoft made a direct Zelda clone with their Immortals game. This was a direct Wind Waker clone right after Wind Waker came out. And it was really, really, really well done. I think it deserves all the praise that it gets.
Man, yeah, 2024 ain't doing it for me, guys.
Dude, like, I've heard people talk for months about how 2024 is like one of the most stacked years they've ever seen, and then you look at that and you're like, nah,
yeah,
not a fan.
I think it inevitably will be pretty stacked if even half the shit on this unconfirmed list comes out. But I still think it's going to feel bad following this year because so much quality stuff came out this year. A lot of
fuck
really
it,
bad
stop
stuff
the presses.
Came out.
Everyone shut the fuck up. 2024 is going to be the gaming year. March 8th, Homeworld 3 on PC. Let's go. Let's fucking go. All right, I take it back.
That one's like the only one in the list that I can't click on, so I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Homeworld 3, one of the best PC real-time strategy games of all time, with one of the most insane sets of stories. Played the shit out of it. It is a fully three-dimensional space RTS. Loved it. Have the like remasters on Steam. The story is really good. It's really good for an RTS, and it's a really competent story just altogether. I would highly suggest anybody check it out. Just play it on easy. But what was the control? I think if you hold control and then move your mouse, you can change the height of where your fleet is. So, and then you can like warp across the map. So I remember playing land battles constantly, and my friend and I would get below an enemy fleet, he would be above, and then we would pincer him from above. Really, really fun game. I forgot Homeworld 3 is coming out. That's so sick. Let's go.
Dude, there's a fucking... Hold on. There's a Clock Tower remake coming out?
Yeah. Yeah.
What the fuck? All right.
A game I did see in this unconfirmed list. I just learned about this game last night. It's called Heartworm. It's apparently a really cool like PS1 era survival horror type game that there's a demo for. I have the demo downloaded on the Steam Deck that Shane sent me. So I need to play that. But it looks really cool.
Yeah, this looks like a Logan game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get your Steam Deck review.
It's been pretty cool. I haven't really used it for much Steam things. I've been using it mainly to play like PS1 and PS2 games. I mean, actually, one of the games I played this year that I'd like to shout out is
this game.
It's a Japanese exclusive PS1 game called IS Internal Section. It's this Squaresoft game. The whole game has like English text, I think, but it was never released in America. But it's like an on-rails shooter with a banger-ass soundtrack, and it looks fucking great. I don't even know how to describe how cool this game is. You just need to see it.
Internal Section. IS Internal Section.
Like, the whole game is like unshaded, like just plain polygons. So it's got a really distinctive look. It's just so cool.
Hmm. But yeah, I've been playing PIE. Oh no, never mind.
What?
Nothing. Disregard.
Okay.
But oh, no, it looks like Tempest.
Tempest?
Yeah, have you ever heard of Tempest? It's Tempest.
You mean that really old game?
Yeah. Or Tempest 2000.
It changes up. Yeah.
Yeah, when did Tempest 2000 come out? I'm really phoning it
in. 2000?
I'm really phoning it in here at the end of the year. Oh, Tempest 2000 came out in 1994.
What?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, on the Jaguar.
That wasn't even on the Y2K wave yet. What the fuck are they calling it 2004?
It's a... dude, oh, I am... I just got exposed to a whole new category of video games. Tempest 2000 is a tube shooter.
I guess that would be a better...
So it's a first online game?
Tube shooters. Oh, man. I thought that was a hentai category.
But
I didn't even know they were making a Tomb Raider 1 and 3 remaster.
Speaking of hentai.
I don't remember when they announced that, but I remember that being announced. Steam Deck's been super cool. Setting up the retro, like everything on that is the easiest that process has ever been on anything. And thank Christ. It is so nice that like you just install the, I don't even remember what it's called, but
EMU Deck.
Yeah. EMU Deck. You just install that and it just sets it up. It's everything I dreamed it would be like. And it's so convenient that it has everything looks so good in the Steam Deck, like library menus and everything. And everything's been running great. Like I've been running like PS2 games like two or three times upscaled, and everything just looks and feels great. I really appreciate you sending it to me, Shane.
Yeah, there you go. It was like, I'm not going to put anything on Craigslist. I don't have a Facebook Marketplace. There you go. Enjoy.
I will.
Yeah. Now you can get 6 days in Fallujah.
I can. I mean, I might, depending on how that is expected to play.
Yeah. So
I do plan to get like a dock for it. To do a little bit more with it, but right now I'm just playing it like the handheld mode, and for that like the retro games are perfect for it.
Yeah, I would suggest getting the official dock, even though it's expensive. But they constantly update the firmware for it and are developing for the dock. So I wish I got that one, but yeah, that's it. That's it for me. Any final thoughts? Any final words?
I don't think so.
I think that about covers it. I just don't know how I'm gonna play all this stuff next in January, February alone.
Just continue to not have a job.
Enough time.
Yeah. Do you have a job lined up? How's that going?
No, I had said I was gonna start looking at the beginning of the year, so I guess tomorrow.
Oh.
Damn.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I mean I got to take the summer off. So
inadvertently.
Inadvertently. So yeah, that
I
was.
I mean, if I had it my way, I'd still be working, but you know.
Well, you quit.
Suck. Yeah, because I was like, I'm not going to deal with these fucking people anymore.
Yeah. Name names. Give me their LinkedIn.
I don't even know if they have one. They've had the same job since 1990, so I don't think they needed one.
One of those coworkers. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was episode 21. We made it to drinking age this year. We did have the subscriber apocalypse for 3 months where Matt Kelly was like, man, they stopped producing episodes. and like, hey, you ever going to post another episode? I'm like, I just put one out today. He's like, oh, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Check us out on Instagram, Dynamic Resolution Show. There's another podcast out there that I'm trying to align my schedule with so that I can guest on it. So I will be sure to drop that if I can get everything together.
I should bring up, too, we were talking about doing the special episodes more going forward next year.
Yeah.
So we're definitely going to do Spider-Man, Logan and I. Should have a Final Fantasy 16 and an Alan Wake episode lined up, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Yeah, I'm excited for those. So yeah, we'll see you. What the fuck? Hold on. Dude, holy shit. I looked at my clock and I'm like, dude, my clock is wrong. It says it's 11:33 a.m. And then I realized it is 11:33 a.m. I got a fucking flashbang. All right.
You respond in the finals.
Yeah.
Right, happy New Year.
Night.
Bye.